Well, you ready to listen up? Amen. Quickly, we're going to cover a lot of ground very fast. We're staying almost entirely in the book of Proverbs, so join me. If you know what my life verse is, go right to that. If you don't know, it's Proverbs 3:5. 3:5 and 6. So we tell people to straighten up, tell them to get up. Sometimes we tell them to shut up. It's not a kind thing to say. But we're telling people to wise up. The first two chapters of Proverbs give us four levels of character. It starts with a simple person. We used a word years ago. We don't use it today. But the word was a simpleton. They're simple-minded. Every child basically sees things in a simple way. They don't have great wisdom. Sometimes people grow up and they don't get a whole lot of wisdom. But a child begins as a simple person. And then there's sometimes the teen years or later in life, people, as the Bible calls them, are scorners. They question everything. Who do you tell me what to do? Oh, I don't believe that. Oh, I disagree with you. Usually they're rebellious against authority. The scorner. And then there's the fool. For the fool, there's no hope. They've made their decision. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do what I want to do. We live in a day where a lot of people have reached that point. They're foolish. The Bible says the fool said in his heart, there's no God. And to live this life, the brief period of time we have on this earth, without any reference to God, with all the evidence we have all around us, a person would be a fool to turn away from that. And then there is the wise. And I wonder, where do we fit? Some of you children, that's your parents' goal, that you'd be wise. But we have to do certain things to be wise. And Proverbs gives us help. It tells us certain things about wisdom. All right, go back to chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Mankind needs wisdom. We need wisdom. We are encouraged to get wisdom. Jeremiah the prophet said, but the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So our hearts can deceive us. We might think we know something when we don't know anything at all. So we can be deceived. Our hearts are wicked. Until a person's converted, it's impossible to have biblical wisdom. If God were not real, though he is, if there was no heaven and no hell, though there is, the principles of the Word of God still would give man and civilization a superior way of life. Even if you disregard heaven and hell and eternity, the principles in the Word of God give us guidelines that work, guidelines that help us to have a successful life and a happy life. There are several words that are used that I think it's important that we understand their meaning. They are interrelated but yet distinct on their own. The word knowledge is used. What is the meaning of wisdom? And I want to define these words and make that distinction so that we get what he's saying. Knowledge is information. We get information from experience, reasoning, from acquaintance, from people we meet. Knowledge can't exist without wisdom. You could have a PhD from Harvard University and not be wise at all. You could even be a fool. Having information even about the Bible, if it's only information, it's not the same as wisdom. Wisdom stands on its own. Someone, I remember this from soon after I got saved, someone made this statement, and he said this, "You'll be the same tomorrow as you are today, except for the books you read and the people you meet." And I said that before the internet. Now you have to include the internet. That changes people. But the influence through people and writing is what changes us. So we can get knowledge to help us respond and determine what we should do. So knowledge is just information, and we gain it from people, from their writings, from influence, from the Word of God, from secular things. It's all knowledge. So we put all that worldly knowledge into our brain. That's not wisdom. It's distinct on its own. God wants us to have knowledge of Him. He wants us to understand who He is. That's why He gave us the Word of God. We, though, need to obey Him, but we got to have the knowledge to know how to obey Him. I think when you get saved, a lot of times you don't even realize some of the things you've been doing and how they contradict the Bible. And as you grow, you get knowledge. Oh, I didn't know that. Remember when Josiah had them clean the temple and he found the scrolls and they brought the scrolls to him and he said, "Let's have a fast," and began to pray. He said, "We've been disobeying the Word of God." That was knowledge, and then he responded to that knowledge. There's no greater knowledge than the Bible itself. That is the highest form of knowledge. Patrick Henry was a revolutionary general, a ratifier of the Constitution, governor of Virginia, and he said, "Being a Christian is a character which I prize far above all this world has or can boast." He also said, "The Bible is a book with more than all other books that were ever printed." So the Bible gives us knowledge of God, who He is, how we can know Him. That's knowledge. Then there's a word, instruction. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." As you go through Proverbs, we get instruction. Someone who's smarter than us starts telling us information. And when we listen to people that know something we don't know, they're our teacher, they're instructing us. So we ought to listen to what people say. The truth is, everybody knows something that we don't know. Hence, every man is our teacher. There are people that we might even totally disagree with, but they know something we don't know. We ought to be good listeners. We ought to be instructable. And as we are instructed, we gain more knowledge. Proverbs 4:13 says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." We should want help. We should be inquisitive. If we don't ask questions, if we don't seek instruction from others, if we think we know everything, we limit our lives. We should be open and listening, allowing people to instruct us. If a person sat in church and they said, "All right, preacher, go ahead, just try and tell me what to do," well, they're probably not going to learn a whole lot. If a student sat in class and they thought they were smarter than the teacher, they're probably not going to learn a whole lot. We need instruction. I know as men, sometimes we get, if you have children at home and you get this thing that has to be assembled, we think we can do it without instructions. And it's humiliating if you get to the point you've actually got to get the instructions out, because we want to do it ourselves. And I think that tendency is in all of us. Don't tell me what to do. 2 Timothy 2:15, a well-known passage, says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be studying, learning, getting instruction, and getting guidance. Proverbs 15, 13, I want you to turn to that. Proverbs 15 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Now we'll talk more about that later probably. The fear of the Lord is to have a respect. It is to have an understanding that what God says is truth. It is right. And that we want to do right because we fear the Lord. We know what He said is truth. And if you don't believe the Bible, that's what's wrong with our liberal friends. They just pick and choose what they want out of the Bible. They don't believe it's all the inspired Word of God. But when you understand it is the inspired Word of God, infallible, in truth, then that's our authority. We need instruction from the Word of God. Okay, we talked about knowledge, instruction, and then there's a word called discretion. This may be something that's brand new to some people. Some young people have not been taught discretion. And the Bible warns about that, that young people need discretion. Proverbs 1 and verse 4. Proverbs 1 and verse 4. So all this instruction to give subtlety to the simple. Remember, we talked about the lowest level of character. Not good or bad, just not knowledgeable, not wise. To give subtlety to the simple. To the young man, knowledge. And what's the next word? Discretion. Discretion. The Word of God will give us discretion. We find out what is right, what is wrong. We're able to discern. This is black, that's white. This is what you should do, this is what you should not do. Titus 2, 4, and 5, it says, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then another verse, Proverbs 11, 22, as a jewel of gold in swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now, I can't rightly picture, going up on a farm, I can't rightly picture a jewel in the snout of a pig. It just doesn't fit in my thinking. Now, they did sometimes put rings in a pig's nose. Did you know that? How many knew that? They would put a nose ring in a pig before people started doing it. But they put a nose ring in a pig because pigs root in the ground and they tear everything up and they get under the fences. So they put that in the pig's nose so that it'll hurt and he won't root under the fence and get out. Because when he get out, there's a long story. I'd have to admit, my parents did not curse and swear, but they came awfully close. Awfully close. So I can't imagine what that would be like, but it doesn't go together. Without discretion, we are not godly. Without discretion, we don't live godly. We don't say godly things. Without discretion, we do not discern right and wrong. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who hears us and who's offended by it. We live in a day where there is a drought concerning the matter of discretion. When it comes to how people dress, what they say, I mean, there is a lack of discretion. And if we're going to be wise, that's part of wisdom, is being able to discern what is good and bad, right and wrong. So we need discretion. The Bible tells us that we should have discretion, and everybody doesn't have it. But young people, as you grow up, learn to be discreet, learn to be careful about what you do. Learn to be careful where you go and what you do. And then we come to the word wisdom. And I'm going to add one more after that, understanding, because that's how it's in the Bible. But wisdom, what is wisdom? What's having the power of discernment? You know, you can evaluate things over time, means discretion in judging properly as to what is true or right. You have the ability to discern whether you should do this or not. And a parent might say to a child, the child says, I'd like to go out with my friends. And a parent says, no, you're not going with those friends because I know what they're up to. The parent has discretion because they know they could get in trouble going with that group of people. But the child doesn't have that discretion. They don't realize. They just want to do what they want to do. But as you get older, you learn some discretion. Wisdom, then, is having that discretion. It's knowing facts about God, knowing facts about the Bible, but it's more than that. Wisdom is a gift from God where we apply what we know and put it into practice. So we don't just know the Bible, we live by the Bible. Knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it and how to say it. Knowledge is knowing you should save for retirement. But wisdom is putting money away and having a plan and following it. Knowledge is knowing how a gun works. But wisdom is knowing when and how to use it. Knowledge understands that the lights turned red. Wisdom determines I'm going to put the brakes on. Knowledge understands the importance of purity. Wisdom maintains purity. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments, but wisdom obeys them. Knowledge understands the existence of God, but wisdom accepts God and Christ as their Savior. So you see, it is not just the information, it's the application of it. Someone said the difference between heaven and hell is the difference between the brain and the heart. Well, it is the difference between just knowing and doing something about it. And I know a lot of people that they say, I'm Christian, well, they're Christian-like, but they've never been saved or born again. See, that's not wise. The fool said in his heart, there's no God. To live as though there's no God is the opposite of wisdom. Wisdom is also about knowing when and how to use your knowledge, being able to put situations into perspective, and knowing how to impart that to other people. You might be knowledgeable about how to read a baby. You've read all the books, and you're ready, and that first child comes in your home, and you bring them home, and you think, how wonderful is this? And then they cry all night. Suddenly, you'd do anything if you just knew what to do. You don't know what to do because you lack the wisdom. Somebody's been through it several times. They may be able to help you. It's called colic. I don't know if that's an excuse or if it's a disease, but that's what they say. They have colic. They're colicky. And so we can have the knowledge. We read the books. We knew everything. But it all changed when it came to reality. So we need wisdom. Brother Ray told me this yesterday when we went to evening meal. A missionary going to China on deputation wrote a book on how to reach the Chinese people. He'd not been to China. He had no idea how to reach the Chinese people. See, that's just knowledge. If you've been there and take some bumps and you've been threatened and raided, now you know. You've got years of experience that give you wisdom about how to deal with it. Wisdom's the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Understanding is our next word. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2. Verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Understanding is not our own beliefs or what we want, but rather seeing things from God's point of view and doing what He wants us to do. If a TUF teacher is here this morning, and if you were teaching a class and you say, "Here's what I want you to do," and a student says, "Well, why should I do that?" Not that that would ever happen in our school. Why should I do that? They don't understand. When I was going through school, I didn't understand why we needed history. And I was out of school many, many years before I ever understood why we needed history. I didn't have an understanding. I didn't know, hey, our country could turn into a communist country. It's important to realize what people did. When Nathan Hale said, "I regret I have but one life to give for my country," he meant liberty was important. I didn't understand other people in other countries. They tell you whether you can meet for church or not. There are people that say you can do this, you can't go there, you can't read this book, you can't have a Bible, you don't have the freedom to choose your own job. I didn't know there are other countries like that. But you see, understanding helps us to realize God has a purpose that is always true and is always right. And when sometimes we don't understand something, if we just obey, probably it won't be long we'll understand why God wants to do something. He gives us understanding, but we have to fear the Lord, respect God, respect who He is, and respect what He wants us to do. So it is not just what we think is right. We have to determine, God, is this what You want? And we may or may not understand it. We should pray, "Lord, help me understand. Why should I do this?" Can't you go back in your Christian life and look at several things and say, "At the time, I didn't understand this." And then over time, you realize, how foolish could I have been that I couldn't see that? Because the more you grow in Christ, the more you understand why should do this or not do that, why this is right, why that is wrong. Understanding is divinely inspired by God. It comes from God. And if our minds are illumined to the truth, we get a whole new perspective in life. Whenever the light goes on, it's like, I see it. That's what I should do. That's how I should live. Understanding, by the way, is a mandate. It's not optional. We're told, seek for it, search for it, have a desire for it. Lord, help me to understand so that I can apply wisdom. Go back to Proverbs 4 and verse 5. We quoted it earlier, but I want to make sure you have it marked in your Bible. See the mandate. Get wisdom. In other words, wise up. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get what? Understanding. Get understanding. Lord, we know what You tell us to do is the right thing to do. Colossians 1:9, He says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul is applying this proverb and the truth from Proverbs that he said, "Help us, Lord, to have spiritual understanding. Help us to be filled with the knowledge of God and spiritual understanding." So those words are interrelated, and yet they are independent on their own to give a specific meaning so that it would help us. But everybody doesn't seek wisdom. Everybody doesn't accept wisdom. Sometimes it's rejected. The Bible says that wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Later we see the call for wisdom, and a young man is led like an ox to the stock, that he would, to the slaughter. You know, there are voices all around us. Young people are faced with this all their life, whether it be their friends, their neighbors, on media, whether it be in school. There's all kinds of voices out there. Who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? Some people listen to the wrong people. They get involved with the wrong friends, and they're not friends at all. Sometimes people say, well, I lost my friends. No, you didn't lose your friends. You lost people you thought were your friends. Your friends will be there. They'll be with you. But some people reject it. Verse 7, Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hey, don't tell me what to do. You can't tell me. Don't we live in a day that's almost anarchy of some people? There's no wisdom. But if you defund the police department, let's think about that for a second. Then you're going to call a social worker and say, someone just shot my husband? Say, well, we'll be out next week and we'll file a form. I can just picture that. That was comforting. That protected your home. Someone's invading. Could you come? I mean, that is beyond foolish. You can't even comprehend it's so foolish. There is a rejection of wisdom. Some people, they don't want wisdom. They're fools. That's what the Bible calls them. They're fools. We need to be wise. We need to know what the Scripture says and follow it. It says, to know wisdom, instruction, perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb, the interpretation, the words of the wise, their dyke sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. We need wisdom. Everybody doesn't seek it. Everybody doesn't want it. They're going to do their own thing. And then you wonder, why is the suicide rate so high? Why are there murders? Why is there chaos and anarchy going on in our country? Because they despise wisdom and instruction. The psalmist said, the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. And you can deny him all you want. It doesn't change the fact that he's there. Proverbs 10:18, it says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Think about that. There are those that reject wisdom. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to know it. As a parent, that would be the most important thing you can ever do, is to be conscious of where your child is at, to make sure they're not following the path to a fool. And it, by the way, it goes in the path from a simple to a scorner to a fool. And you need to be observant and know if that's where they're headed. Put a stop to it and get them on the path to hear the voice of wisdom, that they might be wise. And then finally, let's talk about the attainment of wisdom. Where is it found? Now, we're going to go out of Proverbs, the only time. Proverbs has almost everything we're talking about, but I want to go back to Job. Book of Job, chapter 12. Back, not very far from where you are. Proverbs, Psalms, Job. Job chapter 28. Go down to verse 12. Let's start there. Job 28 and verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? Where's the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me. The sea saith, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx or sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels and fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? If you can't buy it with all these expensive things, where does it come from? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof, for he looketh to the ends of the earth. and seeth it under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure, when he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Where is it? Go outside and look at the next thunderstorm and say, where did that come from? That came from God. Look at all creation and you say, where does this all start? Where did it come from? Came from God. Where do we find wisdom? We find it in God that created this world. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Wisdom is found only in God. James said, if any man lack wisdom, then get a counselor and go talk to them and pay $100 an hour for what they might have to say or not say. Or go to the doctor and get some pills. You know, they'll make you feel better. No, he doesn't say that, does he? No, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's a promise. If we lack wisdom, and we do. We all need to pray, God, give me wisdom. Wisdom becomes a conviction that's deep within the heart of an individual. It's not just something we say to get what we want. It becomes something we deeply believe. In Psalm 51:6, David said, Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Amen. It comes deep within, something we deeply believe. Now, again, children, listen to me. As you're growing up, your parents tell you what to do. You don't have a choice. At least in our home, there was no choice. As you get older, you start making decisions on your own. And at some point, they'll entirely be your decisions. But you have to ask yourself, do I know how to make those decisions? And so you have to evaluate. You have to look even critically at different things that you'll deal with. And you have to determine, do I believe this? Is this right? Is this wrong? Do the people that paved the way for me at my church, do I trust them? Do I believe them? Have they helped me? Has that teacher helped me? Have my parents cared for me? You have to determine, what are your convictions? Well, as you seek wisdom, it's something that goes deep within your soul and being. There's some things you cannot compromise because they're your convictions. Wisdom becomes a conviction deep within the heart. Wisdom should be sought early. Psalm 90 and verse 12, it says, So teach me to number my days that I may apply a heart to wisdom. We need to realize we only have a limited amount of time. So we've got to hurry up and wise up. We got to get smart. Smart the Bible way. You can waste a lot of years. There are a lot of people here this morning, and they can stand in this pulpit, they'd say, I wasted a good part of my life. Don't you do that. I wish that I could go back and start very young. And I think most of us could say, there's a certain part of my life I feel I wasted. Don't waste it. Wise up. Think about what's really important. What is right? Without the fear of God, there can be no wisdom. You have to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You have to believe that God is the ultimate truth, that the Bible is the infallible Word of God. Psalm 111 and verse 10, it says, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. We must reverence the Word of God and hold it in the highest esteem. The one thing that is very simple that I was taught and I believed and believe today from the beginning of my Christian life, if it's in the Bible and I understand it, then I want to apply it. Amen. That's wisdom. If that's what God said, that settles it. I had a little saying If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then someone went up that, and they said, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. If God said it, it's settled. We need to do what he said. That's wisdom. We may differ at different points in our life and our different levels of maturity on how we understand the wisdom of God, because it's a progressive thing. But the one thing we cannot differ on, that is seeking the wisdom of God, a desire for it, and it is more valuable than anything that money could buy. There is no education you can get that would replace wisdom. One of the things, I always have to put in a little plug for our millennials to help them. One of the things that happens with this generation is style often is more important than substance. Now just think about that for a second. If you can't draw a bottom line and say, what's the result of my actions? There's something wrong with that. It doesn't matter how good you look doing it. It doesn't matter what you may have. If you don't have a job and you don't have money, you can say, well, I held on to my convictions. Those are not convictions, it's stupidity. The bottom line's important. It begins with wisdom and the fear of God. And if we truly respect the Bible, the Word of God, those that represent the Word of God, that's wisdom. That's where it begins. May God help us to be wise. And the fool said in his heart, there's no God. But I can add, a man would be foolish to not accept Christ as a Savior, having the knowledge that Christ died for our sins and shed his blood, and to yet never be born again. That would be the greatest of all foolish decisions that could be made. It's so important. If you're not convinced that you're saved, it's not settled, then make that decision. Accept him as your Savior. Let's bow for prayer.